This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In many ways, our next guest has lived the American dream. Gerald Chertavian grew up in Lowell, the son of an Armenian dentist. He worked hard, went to Bowdoin College, and then turned into what he calls an emergent capitalist in the freewheeling 80s.
He worked on Wall Street at Chemical Bank. The budding master of the universe founded a multi-million dollar internet company and sold it at the height of the dot-com boom. Gerald Chertavian made a great deal of money.
So yes, he was living the American dream. But at the same time, he wondered why so many others were not living that dream, especially urban youth. They had talent, but were consistently left outside the economic mainstream. So Chertavian decided that the problem wasn't an achievement gap, as we so often hear, but rather an opportunity divide. And to bridge that divide, he stepped back from banking and investments and technology and instead founded Year Up, an intensive year-long job training and professionalism boot camp that began in Boston in the year 2000. Chertavian writes about it in his new book, A Year Up, how a pioneering program teaches young adults real skills for jobs with real success. And Gerald Chertavian joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I want to talk a lot about what the program does and what it's accomplished in a moment. But first, I'd like to start with a little bit more about you. Because it's interesting to me that you spent so long in the tech world, in the investment banking world. And I wonder, when you were in that field, when you were working for Chemical Bank, and you looked around you at your fellow employees who were young up-and-comers, who did you see? Who were you working with? What was the type of person there?
Well, that was in the mid-80s, late-80s on Wall Street, which was a pretty crazy time. In fact, it was right before the crash, the great crash of 87. And I think it was a time when it was a bit of the me generation. So a lot of folks were out to be successful, to hopefully gain capital, to be successful in their careers. And, you know, I loved banking and always enjoyed it, but I also knew it really wasn't fulfilling to the extent that I needed and knew I wanted in my life.
I guess I'm wondering, was it a diverse group of people?
It wasn't particularly diverse. I think it was a pretty homogeneous group, and we know certainly across our country, it's going to be critical how we build the diversity of our best organizations. And indeed, I'd argue that having a degree of cultural competency is going to be almost a core competency for businesses going forward.
Yeah. I'm wondering because, you know, for most people on that fast track that you were very successful, you know, building businesses, there isn't much in that sort of slipstream of life to make one step back and say, hey, you know, everyone that I'm working with kind of looks the same, kind of comes from the same background. There's a problem here. So really, what made you start thinking you know, about that while you were at the height of your success? You just sold a multi-million dollar company.
The inspiration for Year Up came through a relationship I had that started 25 years ago with a young 10-year-old boy from the Dominican Republic who I was matched with through the Big Brothers program. And so while I was working on Wall Street during the day, I was spending every Saturday of my life with a boy named David Heredia, who is now 35 years old and really a member of our family for all intents and purposes. But I saw through David spending every Saturday with him, his brothers, in a housing development in New York City, that he had all the brains, all the motivation, the desire. But what David lacked was the opportunity and the access to get into the American economic mainstream. And so that really showed me right there, we were wasting so much human capital in a country where we have no one to waste.
Tell me a little bit more about what the details of what you saw in David's life that made you think that.
Well, I would walk from Wall Street to the Rutgers Housing Development, which at that point was one of the most heavily photographed crime scenes in New York City. That was the height of the crack and AIDS epidemic in this country, which literally ravaged many urban communities. I would step over and across crack vials. They would sometimes splinter under your shoes. You would get onto rickety elevators. At times, I'd have to be careful which elevator I got on, because I know I'd be watched going into a building. And for sure, there are certain floors on that development where if I had gotten off on the wrong floor, I would certainly be in danger because there were drug deals on different floors, depending on which were safer floors than others. Yet David had something special, which was a very loving mother. And he didn't, unfortunately, his dad wasn't in his life heavily, but his mom, although she didn't speak English and probably couldn't navigate the U.S. systems as well as she might have liked, she gave all of her boys a great deal of love and security. And so David grew up with a strong mom, but unfortunately just didn't have that access and the opportunity to realize his potential and his dreams in his life.
You know, because a lot of people would say that they'd look at a same young boy like David, and the message would be, actually, David, if you yourself worked hard enough, you can achieve on your own, you know, anything that you dream, you can achieve that dream. But you came away with a different conclusion, that no matter how hard he worked, there would still be that divide.
You know, I had some pretty poignant experiences when I went to David's class as his representative parent for Parents Night. And I asked the teacher, I said, hi, I'm here to represent David Heredia as his parent. And the teacher scratched his head and he looked up at the sky and he said, David, which one is he? And so when you see that, and you realize, as I did, that many Americans, many people in this country, their potential has been limited by things like their zip code, the bank balance of their parents, the school system they went to, or indeed the color of their skin. When you realize that in this country we now have a poverty of opportunity, that's not the American dream. And that's what I think all Americans should have access to, is opportunity to realize their potential, and realize that for many young adults, many Americans, that's a pretty tough road right now.
Hmm. So in 2000, you decided to start, you founded A Year Up. What is it that the program does to bridge that opportunity divide? Because the divide that you're describing, I mean, it seems systemic.
There are right now 6.7 million young adults in this country who are out of school, out of work, and don't have one high school degree. That's almost one out of five, almost 20% of all young adults in this country. So the divide you describe is absolutely accurate. And what we know is it doesn't have to be. And so what we do over 1 year, and hence A Year Up, 6 months our young adults come to us full-time in our programs for 6 months of learning and development. And they're learning attitudinal, behavioral, and communication skills that you would need to get a job in the knowledge-based economy with a great company. They're also learning something marketable, something that there is a demand for, such as technology skills or financial skills. And after 6 months of doing that, they're placed into internships with Fortune 1000 companies all over this country. And so after that full year, you can imagine a young person now has the experience, the skills, the belief that they can now work in an organization like State Street or Bank of America or Google or Facebook, which all of our students do today. And we've found that 85% of our graduates are able to make on average $15 an hour, or what would equivalent to $30,000 per year. Or they're in school full-time when they graduate.
After 1 year in your program.
Right. So in a simple word, Year Up helps a young person go from effectively poverty to a professional career in 1 year.
Wow. Well, I'm talking with Gerald Chertavian. He is founder and CEO of A Year Up. And he's author of the new book, A Year Up, How a Pioneering Program Teaches Young Adults Real Skills for Real Jobs with Real Success. So listeners, what do you make of what you've heard so far of the Year Up program? Do you think that there's an opportunity divide in America? And have you, or are you experiencing it? And is the kind of mentorship, of training, of essentially professionalism boot camp, exactly what young people need to bridge that divide? Or maybe should talented, wealthy entrepreneurs like Gerald Chertavian be working to close the divide from the other side and maybe change attitudes amongst business leaders and employers instead? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or you can comment online at radioboston.org or on our Facebook page at Radio Boston. Gerald, I've got a lot more questions about sort of success stories coming out of your program, but one of them happens to be sitting right next to you in the studio. Her name is Marie St. Jean, and she's a 2012 graduate? 2010 graduate. I'm sorry, my fault, my mistake, of the Year Up program. And she's now a senior fund accountant at State Street Bank. Marie St. Jean, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about how you first got involved in the Year Up program.
How I got involved in the Year Up program. Growing up, I was actually very college bound. I had gone to Boston Latin School, a great college prep high school. And just due to life happening, I ended up having to leave Boston Latin School and instead got my GED. It was after that that even though I wanted to go to college, I couldn't afford it. I didn't have the resources to do so. My parents didn't have the resources to pay for me to go to college. So I just worked odd end retail jobs, fast food jobs. And it was actually at one of those jobs where I met a young lady who was currently a year up student. And every day she would come in and tell me how awesome the program is and how I should sign up for it. And I did just that. I went through the application process and started year up in January 2009.
Well, Marie, let me ask you, you had to leave Boston Latin in part to help take care of your siblings, right?
I did. Coming from a very strict Haitian upbringing, it was simply expected of me to be able to take care of my younger sister and also of taking care of house and home, doing the cleaning and the cooking. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really focus all my time on my classwork. I just simply had other obligations that took away from my schooling. And just the pressure of having to do all that as a teenager, it just got the best of me.
Yeah. And so when you started a year up, you had earned your GED on your own.
I did.
And what is it? What was that the first experience, the first couple of weeks like in the program for you?
The first couple of weeks, it was overwhelming in the sense that myself and the other students, we were surrounded by this amazing staff who, from the get-go, were like, "Okay, we're here to support you and make sure that you get through this program and graduate and earn an internship." And hopefully go on to working full-time or going to school full-time.
Is that something you had before, that kind of support?
No, not at all.
So what difference did that make to you?
A huge difference. In my case, my parents, of course, wanted me to succeed. They wanted me to go off to college and, you know, become something great. But they didn't have the resources to do so. It was just, okay, Marie wants you to get from point A to point B, but unfortunately, we're not equipped to help you get there. Mm-hmm. So having a whole staff that do have the resources or have the means of finding the resources, I was not able to find that elsewhere.
Yeah. Gerald Chertavian, is Marie's story kind of a typical one, if there's any typical person who comes through the Europe program?
Well, we know that for many of our young adults, the journeys they make should not be miracles of any description. It's much more of a humbling reality that if you give a young person an opportunity in this country, that they're able and willing to take advantage of it. I mean, we see young adults come from lots of different backgrounds. Marie had two wonderful parents who wanted everything for her that all of us as parents would want for our children. You know, when you look at the cost of college, the networks required to find a way into livable wage work, you look at some of the barriers our students face, whether it could be past homelessness, past adjudication, perhaps severe dysfunction in their families, that you recognize that the mobility in this country has declined over the past 20 years.
I do wonder, though, because Marie was in Boston Latin, family situation, you know, made it such that she couldn't finish, that you couldn't finish there. But, you know, people who do stay in school for as long as they can, they're not learning these skills that you think that they need to have to bridge that opportunity divide in schools or other places where they should be getting support as young people?
Unfortunately, for many of our young adults, the role models for what knowledge-based professional work looks like may not exist in the communities within their work. You think about the shift in jobs in this country from manufacturing to services and how many jobs were lost and how few role models there are for someone going to a State Street or a J.P. Morgan or Bank of America. So I think, and recognizing, if you think that 80% of all job interviews in this country are gotten through a personal network, mm-hmm. You know, our students end up competing for 20% of the jobs. So when you think about the value of networks, the need for role models and guidance to navigate college, to navigate the professional world, It's not easy today.
Marie, you said the support was very important to you. What was the most challenging thing that you had to learn through the program?
The most challenging thing that I had to learn through the program, I would say, would be patience. just having, at the time that I had attended year up, I was not where I wanted to be. I thought I would have gone straight to college, should have been ready to graduate and off to that amazing job of my dreams. But just being at year up and after having such a sheltered childhood, just learning people skills, learning to be patient, learning to deal with diversity, which is a major thing with companies nowadays, because now diversity is not so much black, white, it's, you know, people from different backgrounds, people from different social economic classes and things of that nature. So that was something that I was able to learn while at year up before I even got to a career.
Yeah. You know, when you, so you, did you started working at State Street right after you got out of the year up program?
After my 6 months in the learning phase of year up, I was placed at an internship at State Street, okay, which lasted 6 months. And upon graduation in January, I was given a full-time position.
Do you think State Street felt ready for you? I mean, you were there working as an intern.
Right.
Did you feel like here was the company that looked at you and said, I see possibility in Marie St. Jean?
Yeah, State Street is an amazing company, which definitely fosters talent. They see talent and then they work on improving it. So when I came, so as an employee, they say she certainly has the tools and the resources there to foster someone like me.
Yeah. The reason why I asked, Gerald, is because in reading your book, it was just apparent to me that this is one of the biggest challenges that a year up is trying to address. And it's not just amongst the young people who come into the program, but it's convincing potential employers, businesses, basically the system out there that you're going to be sending them into, that here is talent. Here is human capital, as you've said, that's just waiting to be tapped. Why do you think it's so hard to convince the power structure, businesses out there, that you know exactly whom they need might be in the type of person such as a Marie St. Jean?
At Year Up, I think you've hit on one of the reasons we exist. And it's absolutely critical that we connect supply and demand in this country. We have a supply of young people who are talented. We have employers who have a skills gap. And we even know in this country now we have 14 million unemployed people and 3 million open job vacancies. And I think for many of employers, we have to both help them and encourage them to think differently about who's talented and where talent resides in this country. And I think Year Up, one of our main purposes, is by exposing companies to talent like Marie and great organizations like State Street, we now have hundreds of young people working there because the leadership allowed young people to show their potential. And we really have a campaign broadly to help many CEOs across the country to see the talent that's out there and help create a pathway for those young folks to come into their organizations.
Let's take a couple calls. I'm speaking with Gerald Chertavian. He's founder and CEO of Year Up and Marie St. Jean, 2010 graduate of the Year Up program that was started here in Boston in 2000. Brian's calling from Westport. You're on the air, Brian.
Hi, Meghna.
Hi, what's your thought today?
Well, my question is this. I work at an alternative high school for students who, as Gerald had mentioned, have adjudication problems, dysfunctional families, all sorts of skills deficits. And I work every day with a building full of professionals who, you know, we've all been in regular high schools and we've moved into this alternative high school setting, because it's almost a laboratory where you can really try different things to try to motivate these kids and you can go in different directions. And I'm wondering how the Year Up program deals with young people who are maybe
not so easy to motivate.
Well, they're almost impossible to motivate.
All right. Well, let's put that
question. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brian, but I want to be able to put that question to Gerald Chertavian. Thanks for your call, Brian.
Sure. We at Europe, we are reaching out to students and seeing, do they want to take advantage of this opportunity? And so students do go through an admissions process when they come to Europe, and we're really looking mainly for, do you want a path to get into the mainstream, to get a professional career at a great organization? And, you know, so we do absolutely look for that in a young person. We're not looking for who has the grade, who has the all the experience. And many of our students have skill deficits when they come to us. We work really hard on that. But I am convinced that if someone wants to get there and has motivation, that we can, within 1 year, help them to get on that path.
Europe is not just in Boston anymore. How far has it spread?
So Europe did start with 22 students in Boston. We're now really fortunate to serve 1,500 young adults in 9 cities around the country. And it's been wonderful. We've served almost 6,000 young people since the program started and really tracked many of those graduates and alums throughout the years and seen how young folks now are buying homes, taking care of themselves, being incredible role models for their children. And in fact, it's interesting to note that the whether or not a child does well is most highly correlated to whether a parent has a job.
So here's what I'm wondering, because one of the issues with very entrepreneurial programs like this is, how can we scale it? Is it possible? If you're really going to make an impact on closing that opportunity divide, you got to be able to scale it up to basically cover the country. Do you think it's possible? Is your model scalable?
It's absolutely possible, and it's really the next phase of our growth is taking the Europe model and starting to put it into community colleges. And so if you can imagine, you have ROTC in a 4-year college, imagine the equivalent of what we call PTC, Professional Training Corps, in a community college. Rather than learn, say, military moves, you're learning Microsoft mouse moves. Rather than wearing fatigues, you wear business attire. And rather than going on a field training exercise, you're going into an internship.
Mm. So potentially scalable. I've got just about a minute and a half to go, and I want to get another question into you. And then, Marie, one last thought from you. But, you know, Gerald Chertavian, I'm sure you're familiar with the work that Jeffrey Canada is doing in the Harlem Children's Zone in New York. And basically what he's trying to do there is create an entirely different environment around children from the time that they're, you know, toddlers or even younger, so that maybe some of the structural things that lead to opportunity divides, as you call it, later in life, are eliminated from the start. That makes me wonder, do you feel in order to really close that divide once and for all in America, that maybe you're too late by focusing on people who are 18 and older?
We are absolutely not too late. What I would say is that Jeff, who's a good friend, you want to invest resources early on in a young person's life, develop literacy, make sure they're successful. At the same time, we have now proven through external study that if you invest in a young person at that 18, there is a massive return on investment in that young person for society. So I'd say you want both strategies in order to really close the divide over the next 20, 30 years.
And Marie St. Jean, it seems like you are on the path to success, and it's been such a pleasure having you in the studio. I'm afraid I've run out of time for a last thought from you, but in a couple seconds, can you tell me, like, what's next for you?
What's next for me? I am currently a student at UMass Boston, so I'm looking forward to getting my bachelor's there. And I'm always in the process of just doing developmental learning, just such as getting a project manager certification, which Europe and State Street are helping me with. So.
Marie St. Jean, it is such a great story, and wish you all the luck. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Gerald Chertavian, author of A Year Up and CEO of the company, thanks so much. Listeners, continue this conversation at radioboston.org and stay with us. There's more after the break.